Well, good morning again, everybody.
Good morning.
Folks, as we enter into our message this morning, we're going to make a little bit of a transition. We've been studying Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, and I hope that you've enjoyed what we've been learning so far, because there's so much that's embodied in that Psalm. And I think it gives us a good look into the heart of David when he wrote Psalm 23. You know, Psalm 23 can be applied to most every application, I think, in life, in our personal lives, and certainly for every season that we have. We can find an aspect of Psalm 23 that fits that occasion. We are going to transfer, we're going to take a shift. I'm going to attempt to try to show how Psalm 23 has application today. And so I just want to read the first little part, and then we will take a shift in our message, and we'll be focusing on Advent. So you can read, it's on the PowerPoint, you can read. But I'd like you to think about, if you can recall, some of the things that we've touched on with Psalm 23 in these first couple of verses that we've been studying. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." In these first three sentences, there's so much that's acknowledged. And it has everything to do with the Lord being in control. David's acknowledgement of that, David's recognition of his dependency on God, and David's hope in God. You see, when you have hope in the Lord, he shall not want. When he recognizes that God is his shepherd, his hope is in the creator of the universe. His hope is embodied in everything throughout this psalm. David looks to the Lord for his sustenance, for direction in his life, for every aspect, as we should too. And that brings us to Advent. This is the first week of the Advent season. Advent means coming or arrival. Advent is in many denominations described as a time of expectation, of waiting, of anticipation and longing. And I don't find anything wrong in that sentiment. It's true. What are we looking for in this Advent season? Folks, we're going to light a candle, and I'm not an Advent expert, but I want to thank Brother Walter and Sister Kathy for helping me this morning. But I do know this. The very first candle that we light, I'm going to light it now, in our Advent season, is a candle of hope. The candle that you'll recognize is purple, and purple is symbolic of royalty, which, of course, when we think about it, royalty, we worship our Lord and our Savior, who is Christ the King. He came as the Lamb, but he will return as the Lion. There is nothing more majestic and more royal than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. David could have called him his king in this Psalm 23, but he called him his shepherd because of the intimate relationship that the shepherd and the sheep have. Folks, we have that intimate relationship too. As we go into Advent, it's all the very first week, and what we're going to study today is all about hope. What is it that we hope in? You know what a sad state of affairs is when all the Christian's life, as we enter into Christmas season, is all about the commercialism, how it's all been twisted. You know, Brother Meredith's prayer, some things he mentioned made me think about the things we were thankful for in Thanksgiving. Aren't you thankful for a little bit of a cultural shift that we've had in our country? You know, 10 years ago, every effort was being made to take Christmas out, any reference to Christ out of Christmas. People were shunned, and it was taboo. And now we can say Merry Christmas again without being worried that we're offending anybody. Merry Christmas, because this is the Christmas season of we are celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for each believer, who is it that we hope in? It's in the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to think about hope, that expression and that word, hope. You know, Advent reminds us that we hope in something, in the coming of Christ. But as you focus on the word hope for just a moment, hope is very powerful, isn't it? There's some other scriptures and messages that I started to bring today and I didn't about hope. But I want you to understand how powerful hope is. You know, hope makes us believe in the possible when circumstances are bad and everything seems to be impossible. You see, it helps us to focus on life and the challenges that are in front of us and lift our eyes to what is possible. Because we don't hope in ourselves, do we? We hope in the Lord. And we know that through Christ we can do all things. The true source of hope, of course, is found in our faith in Jesus Christ, in our Good Shepherd. You see, David didn't trust in himself, did he? He trusted in the Lord being his shepherd to lead him. We obviously do the same thing. We trust in the Lord, not in ourselves. But today, to encourage us, as we think about hope, and about how powerful hope can be to help us face the obstacles that we have in our lives, the challenges, the time when our faith seems not quite up to the task, we need to remember that we are hopeful because of what the Lord has done for us. So I want to focus this morning, in this first week of Advent, in a time of hope, on the promises that God has given us about the reason we hope. There are several promises to look at. From the very beginning, Bible, and from our lives up until present day time. I want you to think about why we are hoping in Jesus Christ. And that's the most fundamental thing that we need to think about. Why are we hoping? So if we go back to the beginning, if we go back to Genesis, you know, Genesis records God's perfect creation, doesn't it? He said everything was good. Then it records humanity's tragic fall, because we entered into sin. But it also then records God's immediate response to sin. And in that response, we find our very first promise of hope, found in Genesis 3:15. And I've titled this a promise of hope and restoration. Because here, let's read it. These are the words of the Lord God Almighty. And he's talking to Satan. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. You see, God is speaking to Satan about Jesus. About Jesus. From the very moment that sin entered into the world, God promised a Savior. There was somebody who was coming that would be a descendant of Eve, who would crush Satan and the power of sin. That's the very first promise that we find in the Bible about Jesus. Because why? We weren't able to battle Satan on our own. Adam and Eve had sinned and had fallen. But God wasn't caught unaware. And he was prepared. Matter of fact, it reminds us that God's plan has always been to restore what was broken, and redeem what was lost. To restore us. It reminds me of the 23rd Psalm. He restores my soul. You see, sometimes our heart and our soul seems broken. For many people, the holiday seasons are a time of great depression and despair for whatever reasons it may be. But when we look to the Lord, he will restore our heart and our soul. And this first promise that we find in Genesis is a promise of restoration. And that will only come from the promised Savior that the Lord would send. We find this same promise as we go further throughout the Bible. Over and over and over again, There are prophecies. There are mentions of the coming Savior. You see, there's anticipation. This first week of Advent, we already said, it's hope, expectation, anticipation. You see, there was a promise. Don't we hope in promises? We expect good things to come. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ will be celebrating his birthday for the little children. The hope of Christmas, it's a magical time, and they're hoping for wonderful things. And folks, we are too. We're hoping that the Holy Spirit will fill our hearts and open our eyes to see how blessed we are, and to find the reassurance of all these promises that he has given us, of how they've been fulfilled. Isaiah 43, here the Lord is speaking through the prophet Isaiah. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. See, David referred to as the sheep of the Lord's pasture. The sheep belong to the shepherd. Again, that very intimate relationship. Folks, we belong to God. He says right here, you are mine, and he has redeemed us. You know, when the Lord speaks, it accompanies all essence of time. It's because he's spoken it, it will come to pass. He will redeem us. You see, the promise, just like was spoken in Genesis, a Savior will come to restore us because we were broken and fallen into sin. I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I think with great pride and gratitude. Because we belong to God, folks, and we can never forget that. We belong to him. And the promise of restoration, listen to what it says in Isaiah 53. And again, the reference to the 23rd Psalm. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The promise to restore us. The promise of regeneration from the coming Savior. It's our hope. We hope for this redemption, don't we? Because, folks, we were broken, and there's nothing that we could have done about it. But God knew. God had a plan. And he promised a coming Savior. And he promised that that Savior would not just look at us from afar, like sometimes, you know, TV and movies depict some undetached God that just is observing the little creations on his feet. No, the Savior would come and be with us. You see, we have the promise of Emmanuel, that God will be with us. Isaiah 42:1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. And folks, there's so much in this passage right here. Aren't you thankful? Let your minds just go for a moment. This is talking about Jesus, and he will bring justice to the Gentiles because the Gentiles were detached from the nation of Israel. Without Jesus, folks, we would have no hope, none whatsoever. But because of the gift of faith that the Lord has given us, Jesus brings justice to the Gentiles. Isaiah 7:4, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Meaning again, folks, the Lord is with us. He promised that the Lord would be with us. And we need to remember at this moment, at this time, it's a proper moment just to bring up. Jesus promised that he is with us always, didn't he? Can't we gather hope for that, for whatever circumstances we're facing in life? Our Savior is with us. In Zechariah 9:9, here the promises continue about the Savior coming. And folks, I know that you realize all this, but we have to establish the very foundation of our hope. Because our hope is not in ourselves and in our material possessions in life. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And God promised it. And because it's a promise, it will never fail. We need to focus on it. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And of course, we know that this applies to Jesus. As he rode into Jerusalem before the crucifixion. You see, every prophecy was fulfilled. Isaiah 9:6-7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And that word zeal is important. It is because God wants to do it. He has zeal. You see, he said that we are his people, that you are mine. God loves his people. He loves his children, and he's providing everything that is necessary to redeem his children. And he's sending his only son, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, in whom I am well pleased. Remember, he said that also at the Transfiguration. This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him, because it is him that we hope in. We hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you notice as we read that particular part of Isaiah, that prophecy, upon the throne of David. You see, David, the lineage, it made David a great patriarchal grandfather to whatever generation would have been removed of Jesus physically. But we know his true father was the Lord above. Yet he gave, it says here, the kingdom of David's throne to Jesus Christ to rule what? Forever. Forever. You know, we hope for Christ's return. We hope for the kingdom that is coming. We hope, why? Because of what Jesus did for me and for you. Because of the zeal of the Lord. Will perform this. And folks, these were all the prophecies of his coming. And that prophecy, those promises, again, I'm wanting to focus, all these are, some are prophecies, some are promises, and they're both, they contain both. A prophecy is a promise too. These promises were fulfilled. And they were fulfilled, of course, with the birth of Jesus. Matthew 1:21-25. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Right there, if we stop and didn't go any further, doesn't that go back to Genesis 3:15? That Jesus will come, a descendant of Eve, and will crush Satan and the power of sin. And there's not one thing that Satan can do about it. He will try, and he did try. And he will try and interfere in our lives too. But there's nothing that he could do. Again, the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What do we hope in? You see, Satan tries to turn us away from the promises of God and help us to forget them. To help us to forget what he has already done for us. He shall save their people from their sins. In other words, he will restore our souls, because we couldn't do that for ourselves, could we? Only Jesus could do that. In verse 22, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You see, this promise reverts back to the one from Isaiah. God is with us, folks. As we sit here today, didn't Jesus promise, where two or more gather together in my name, I will be there with you? I said when we came in today, when we come to worship, shouldn't we come with humble hearts, with reverence before the Lord? We're coming with hope in our hearts. Jesus is here in the midst of us. If Jesus was here physically, would your demeanor change? Would there be any more, I guess, to change in your attitude, in the way that you will worship Him. You see, that's why we need to approach the throne of grace. Because it is by God's grace that we have this day. It's by God's grace that we are allowed to come and worship Him. And we pray that we do it in spirit and in truth. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Folks, as you, no matter what day of the year it is, what season it is, always remember that promise. God is with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Why do we hope? Because of Jesus. And then, of course, we have more affirmation. What beautiful words these are in John chapter 1. To me, these are so touching. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. And again, I go back to that first promise in Genesis. There's not one thing that Satan could do about it, because Jesus was going to crush him. Yes, he would pay a price. That's what's meant by "you shall bruise his heel." He would come to the cross willingly. The zeal of the Lord will do this, it said. Jesus came to fulfill the will of the Father, because he loves us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Again, that promise that our Savior would be with us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of his only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Jesus came because, like sheep, we had all gone astray. Right? You see, there's parallels here with the 23rd Psalm. But it's just, we find, I think it's there intentionally so it can give us a way to relate from the physical perspective. But spiritually, how much greater are these promises of the coming Messiah? Now, folks, let's look for a moment at what we have hope for today. This is a Christmas season. We're going to be celebrating the birth of Christ. We lit a candle of hope. So let me ask you for a moment, what are you hoping for? You know, we all hope for good things in our life as we go through them. Sometimes in our looking forward, we fail to recognize what brought us to the point where we are. God's promise that He is with us always is one that we should always recognize and remember. We didn't get to where we are, whatever age we may be, without the sustaining hand of the Lord above. Every breath we take comes from Him. He gave us this day. He's blessed us in the past. What a blessed people we are. You know, we just celebrated Thanksgiving and we counted our blessings, and it's impossible to count each and every one of them. How great the Lord is to us. But is there any greater blessing that we have with the recognition and the comfort that we find as we try to study grace? What is the definition of grace? Unmerited favor? Being the recipient of something good even though we don't deserve it? Somebody benevolently giving us what we need even though we couldn't provide it for ourselves? You see, all that's wound up and rolled into grace, and the Lord does every bit of that. As we think about God's grace, remember for just a moment where we were without God's grace. Ephesians 2:11 through 12 tells us this, and Paul is exhorting the Ephesian people. Therefore, remember that you once were Gentiles in the flesh, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. No hope! You see, we're back to that promise of hope. We're celebrating hope because we hope in Jesus. We hope in something higher than ourselves. David said, I shall not want in the 23rd Psalm, because he believed, he trusted, he hoped, and he was assured in his heart that God would provide for all his needs. But folks, that only comes to us through Jesus Christ. Without Christ in our lives, we have no hope for a future life. We have no hope at all. Because we were without God in the world, Paul is telling them. And reminding them. You see, sometimes we get high-minded, and we get a little bit haughty. And we get a little bit, I guess the best way to describe it is, ungrateful. Because God has done so much for us. And we become entitled in our hearts and in our attitudes. And we quit hoping. Because we think somehow that we deserve it. Folks, we don't deserve anything but condemnation. You see, our hope is in Christ. And what he's done for us. Not in ourselves. Not in our success or whatever our materialistic lifestyle may be. No, our hope is in the promise of the Savior. The promise was delivered to us. Jesus came, he was born. He dwelt amongst us. We have the written record. We have the gift of faith in our hearts. We understand what grace is all about. You see, we're not entitled to anything except for the promise that is extended to us because of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul's reminding the Ephesians. They need to remember what they were like too, just like we do. You see, folks, we were all like a cast sheep. We were helpless. We had no way to deliver ourselves from the position we found ourselves in through sin. You remember the picture of the cast sheep?
There it is.
You know, I joked and said that Angela shouldn't have put my picture on the PowerPoint. I've eaten so much, that's kind of the way I am. But folks, the truth is, we were all that way. And we were all just like this sheep. Without Jesus Christ, we're helpless. And we can't deliver ourselves from that position. Without Jesus Christ in our life, just like this sheep that we're looking at is vulnerable to the predators. We're vulnerable to Satan too. You see, everything that we have to hope for and to find comfort from in life is because of Jesus Christ. And that's what we hope for. We were all like that cast sheep at one time. But for the grace of God, the zeal, the desire, the love that God had for his people that he called, you are mine, for me and you. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5 tell us, but when the fullness of time had come, see, when the fullness of time had come. You can't catch, for just a minute, let me make a diversion. You can't catch God unaware. God knew. When the time was right, he would send his son. He gave all the promises to reassure, to give the people of Israel the hope to recognize that all at some point, all of these sacrifices that you're making are symbolic. But the true sacrifice would come and redeem his people, his children. And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. You see, folks, we are made acceptable because of Jesus Christ. That's our hope. That's the foundation of our hope. Because God did not leave us in our brokenness. Just like that picture of that sheep was. He didn't leave us helpless. No, he sent a Savior to save us from our sins. Jesus came for you and for me to redeem the lost. Now, you might not like to picture yourself like that sheep that's on its back. But that's the way we were. And Paul is reminding the Ephesians of that. And our hope lies in Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Not in ourselves, not in the world. But it also lies in God's faithfulness. Because every one of these promises that I've tried to present this morning has come to pass. God's word never fails. It gives us hope. That's the foundation of our hope. That God came to save us from our sins. Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. You see, when we see ourselves like that cast sheep, we realize how vulnerable, how pitiful, how weak we are. We're not able to do anything without Jesus Christ as far as our salvation goes. But our hope and our trust is what? It's not in ourselves. And that's what we need to recognize. God knew that. He knew that in Genesis when we sinned and we fell. But he promised the coming Messiah, and Jesus Christ came. And he came, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. And folks, that believe that applies to everybody is lost. But he came to seek and save his children, even when we were lost. And he came to live among us and show us the way. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, we have his word. He speaks to us today through his written word. And it shows us the way that we should go. It shows us that we need to have faith in our good shepherd, just like David did. And that he will provide for us. And then when our faith is in him the way it should be, at the level that it should be, we are quieted and comforted in our hearts and souls so we can lie down and be pastors too. And when we believe God's word and put it first in our lives, the things that God tells us the way to live and the way to go means more to us than the ways of the world. And so we are content. And we find comfort in that. Just like the sheep find comfort when they're led beside still waters. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So folks, if for some reason in your life, and I don't believe that there's anybody here doing this, but you may have family members, or you may know people, you may have friends, that for some reason, their hope has been diminished, and they're not following and listening, share God's word with them, because that shows us the way to go. He came to reconcile us to God through his death, so that we could have eternal life. And you see, there's a promise right there. That's a promise. You see, we start focusing again on hope. What are we hoping for, folks? You know, life can be hard. It can be cruel. When you read about all the horrible things that Christians go through in other parts of this world. I know a man, he's got several different conditions. And he has to take a whole litany of medicine. And he's made comments several times, you know, I just don't know that it's worth it anymore. And he's truly not all that old. He's 67. But it's one thing after another. Some of the medicines that he takes, it reduces his immune system, so he's so susceptible to skin cancers. And every couple months he goes, and it's a major, major excision, taking off squamous cells or basal cells or melanomas. And he's had so many skin grafts and patches. And he's just plain tired of it and wore out. But you see, folks, what do we hope in? If all we do is hope in this life, didn't Paul say we were the men of all men most miserable? No, we hope in what comes next. You see, that we have that promise. And we should gain confidence in that promise. We should be comforted by that promise. That this world is not all there is. We hope in Jesus Christ. In the words. Because he said that, I am the good shepherd. And just like the shepherd provided for David and met all his needs. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And we know that he did. Then in John, it brings us back to the zeal of the Lord. The Lord himself proclaimed it in Genesis, and it came to pass. And this is the zeal of the Lord. It's expressed so perfectly here through the words of Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40. All that the Father give me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. If we stop just for a moment right there. When we, if we become overridden by the lies and deceptions of this world that God doesn't care, how much more comforting words that we can find that when we turn to Jesus, when we pray, that he will in no ways cast us out, because we are the sheep of his pasture. We have hope in the grace of God. And here Jesus is telling us that. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And again, that will was the zeal. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up that day. That's what we hope in, folks, because of Jesus Christ. Folks, I know it's time to close. I just want to exhort you with this last passage to think about. Because what if something happened and we couldn't meet again between now and the first of the year? We weren't going to look at the other aspects of the Advent season. This is important for us. It's instructions for us. Paul wrote this to the Hebrews in Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. It's an exhortation of God's faithfulness and of what we are supposed to do with our hope. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised it is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, folks, we don't know if it's today or if it's tomorrow or when it may be, but we know that day is approaching when Jesus will return. He is coming again. He made that promise. And we need to be hoping and looking forward with anticipation to that day. He's coming again. And until, and to paraphrase what they're saying here, until that day comes, we need to keep meeting together. It doesn't matter how many we are. Because when we meet together and we worship together, we exhort, we build up one another. It makes us strong. And it reminds us of what it is we are hoping in. We're hoping in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Folks, because Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, because he came to do the will of the Father, we have the promise of eternal life. This is not the end for us. And that gives me hope. I think of that friend that I know who he's really down. And he's not hoping the way he should. No matter what we go through and experience in this life, Paul said that it's just the momentary infirmities and difficulties and struggles in this life pale in comparison to what awaits us ahead. All because of Jesus. All because the Lord sent to us a good shepherd, to nurture us, to care for us, to lead us. And folks, we need to always hope in him and the promises that we find in his word. When we need direction, we need to turn to God's word, and we will find a way to go. Because here are the words recorded of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And folks, as Paul was exhorting these people in the letters in Hebrews, we need to be praising God for the reason of our hope. Praise him for Jesus Christ. And this Advent season is a perfect time to share the reason for your hope with somebody else. Outside of this church, outside of our family, outside of our general circle of friends, we need to be sharing this wonderful message of redemption through Jesus Christ to a world that desperately needs that message. Share your faith where other people can hear you. Praise God where other people can hear you. The Lord said through the prophet Isaiah 43:21, "This people that I have formed for myself," again, Just like the shepherd owns the sheep, God owns you and me. This people I have formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Praise the Lord for others to see in this time of hope, in this Advent season, where we worship and celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. May the Lord add his blessings to this my prayer.